Luke 14, 7 through 11, we're going to actually take a look at two parables, one this week and one next week that Jesus did back to back. So let's look at Luke 14, 7 through 11. Just follow along with me. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose to seat at the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and to him come and say to you, 'Give this place to this man.' And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Amen. So we see Jesus telling us it's much better to take the lowest place at the table rather than exalt yourself and then be shamed by the host. And isn't this true? I mean, it's clear in the Word of God over and over again. But don't we see this in life? Just come out over and over again. Pride, self-righteousness, man-pleasing, we all know they end in destruction, don't they? For our flesh loves to be first. It loves it. It loves to be best. It loves to be exalted. In fact, one of the most common examples that probably runs rampant through our culture and even in our lives is that we love to exaggerate stories, don't we? To be seen in a better light, you know. I was going 100 miles an hour, you know. But we do that sometimes even to the point of bearing false witness for the sake of what? Exalting ourselves. That's what we do. But Christ says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Now, in this parable, what Christ was teaching was nothing new. We see this. Solomon taught this in Proverbs 25. Solomon said, "Do not exalt yourself in the presence of a king, and do not stand in the place of the great, for it is better that he say to you, 'Come up here,' than you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen." Almost exactly what Christ turned into a parable. But understand what Jesus is saying. This is really important. In verse 7, he says, he noted how they chose the best places. So he took the lesson of Solomon and applied it to an example that was going on right before them. Jesus is once again showing us that, not just as a kind of a practical truism, but this is what the life of a Christian is. This is what it looks like. Humility is our disposition as Christians. Humility is our posture. Humility is our life of joy that we get to live. Because being saved through faith in Christ, we don't have to exalt ourselves anymore. Isn't that wonderful? We're free from that. We're free from those chains that want us to put ourselves up. We don't have to look good, to be right, to run that rat race of trying to please every man in the room, which just drives you crazy, trying to pull that off. No, we're free from this in Christ. And actually, we willingly take the lowest position. For we know it's in this place where he will exalt us in due time. One first century rabbi said, "My self-abasement is my exaltation, and my self-exaltation is my abasement." So humility and lowliness. Paul declared this, didn't he? Paul declared this as the gateway or the door to unity. He said, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace." So brothers and sisters, as we mentioned before, humility is this foundational conviction for the Christian. Before you're convicted to be kind, you're going to be convicted to be humble as a Christian, right? Because it'll direct not just the seat you take when you walk into a room, but how you prioritize serving others. It will direct how you forgive others. It will direct how patient you are with others. What I want us to come away with today is just one thing, if you remember this. Humility is not just a good character trait, like being genuinely kind or sweet. And those are good. Don't get me wrong. Those are good. But kindness and sweetness will never flow out of a prideful heart that's looking to exalt oneself, will it? And you know this. My son and I ran into a fairly unsavory used car salesman recently. And he seemed so nice and so complimentary. I mean, he was like words of building up. I felt very good. But unfortunately, they were all done with a hidden agenda. It was very clear at the end that his compliments were not given in love, but to exalt himself with my money. For James reminds us, doesn't he? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's one of the questions at some point in your Christian walk you're going to ask yourself. Am I under the grace of God? I need to know. Because this is happening and this is happening. God, am I under your grace? You're going to ask that. Now we know. We know from this passage who he gives it to. He gives grace to the humble. James continues and says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. For being lifted up by God does not come from something we do, but it's something he does. Andrew Murray, it's a Dutch Reformed pastor in South Africa in the late 1800s, written a lot about humility, but he emphasizes this foundational aspect. It's not just a trait, a character trait to run after, but it's the Christian's stance. It's our attitude. Andrew Murray said, humility is the only soil in which the graces root. The lack of humility is the sufficient explanation of every defect and failure. Humility is not so much a grace or virtue along with others. It is the root of all graces because it alone takes the right attitude before God. And so it's in humility that we really know what we believe about God, isn't it? Is it about me? Is it something I need to do? Do I need to exaggerate the story to put myself in a good light? Or can I turn this to the Lord to do? Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And this is the life of the Christian. It's the walk of the Christian. Many of you know, I've spoken a lot about Philippians 3, where Paul says that we must know Christ, to know Christ. That's my whole voyage in life, to know Christ more. If you want to know Christ, this is my challenge to you today. If you want to know Christ, you must know humility. For Christ embodied this perhaps more than any other character trait was humility. We know this time of year, don't we? We think of Christ. He came to the earth. He put on flesh. I want you to read you and just end with this real quickly what our Westminster Shorter Catechism says about Christ coming. Question 27 says, wherein did Christ's humiliation exist? Christ's humiliation consisted in, listen, him being born, taking that low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, the cursed death of the cross, being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. That's our God. That's humility. He came, he took on flesh, he died for our sins. He's just asking us to forgive one another and be humble. We can do it by his grace. He's asking us to say, this is me, no exaggeration, mask off, this is what you get. Broken, imperfect man struggling with sin, sinner saved by grace, but an adopted child of God. That's what you get. So we, as we strive to know Christ and we conform to his image, we grow to like the lower seat. We welcome the humbling providence of the trials in our lives because we know this is where we glorify God. As we turn our time to confession, I want to close with one more quote from Andrew Murray, and then we'll pray. Andrew Murray said, here is the path to the higher life. Down, lower down. Just as water always seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God's finds men abased and empty, his glory and power flow to exalt and to bless. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this first grace of humility, for the foundational work that it is in our Christian lives. And Lord, we confess to you now that we don't take that road often. And many times pride wells up inside and we want to portray something else. Oh, but Lord, we confess this to you and we pray that you would do that work in our lives, that we would see the beautiful, amazing work of you humbling yourself before us, that we may live, that we may even reign with you. Lord, we thank you for this, and we ask now that you would forgive us, God, as we go forth, and build us and strengthen us, not in a high position by which we exalt ourselves, but in fact, by taking that lower seat, that you may do the exalting. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.